You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
So, has anybody ever looked at somebody and you've seen them perform an action and your first thought was, what were they thinking? I taught middle school for 13 years. That was a daily thought. What were they thinking? You watch Will Smith walk up on the stage during the Oscars and slap Chris Rock. You're like, what was he thinking? What went through his mind that was the resulting action? Because we have to understand that every action has a thought process that goes into it beforehand. There is a thought that leads to the action. And if we don't take that as our reality, then we allow ourselves to fall into the cultural trap that there are no individual thoughts left. We don't have to think anymore. I mean, as a culture, it kind of looks like we've abdicated the responsibility to think to Instagram and TikTok. I don't know about you, but I scroll through my feed and all I see is the same thing 100 times. Oh, I'm gonna do this too, I'm gonna do this too. Nobody's doing anything unique. Everybody's just trying to trend. We don't have any unique thoughts left. We don't have a whole bunch of people all sharing different ideas. We have two very loud people and a whole bunch of people saying what they're saying. We're not a nation of 300 million people. We're a nation of two people and 150 million echoes. And we've kind of classified everybody as, well, you're either woke culture or you're broke culture, and you can't live anywhere in between. We're not allowed to think for ourselves anymore. We're being told what is the acceptable thought process and what is the acceptable thought result. And we have to understand that scripturally, that doesn't make sense. We're told how to think, what is true, and we need to understand what is true so that we can then walk forward into that. The truth is not up for interpretation. The truth is what God says is true. So we have to live that. We have to understand that instead of letting go of our responsibility to think. Because the reality is every single one of us at some point in the future is going to look in the mirror and see a reflection of the choices that we made over the past 10 years. 10 years from now, when you look in the mirror and you look at the reflection of the choices that you've made, are you going to be pleased or are you going to be disappointed? Are you going to be satisfied or are you going to be frustrated? Because the choices we make now affect who we are in the future. Which means we need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. We need to be intentional about what goes into our mind and intentional about what flows from our minds. Okay, so how do we take our thought life back? How do we make an intentional decision right now from this moment on to move into the truth that only God can provide? So today and for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of these pillars, these foundational, unshakable things that we can go back to that will help us to move forward in our thinking and therefore move forward in our actions. So how do we lay these foundations? Well, we need some pillars to build on. So I've got four pillars we're going to talk through today. And then we're going to continue this series next week as well. So at the end of this gathering today, you might be like, wow, that really felt like half a message. It kind of is. There's going to be more. That just means you have to come back next week. Preemptively speaking, it's going to be great, right? No, there's going to be more. But we understand that when we're talking about thinking, that this is not a one and done kind of message. This isn't, I just stand up here, you pray it away, and everybody walks out whole. We live in a broken world. There are consequences to that world. So we understand that we can work on our thinking. We can work on what we do. But the reality is there's going to be healing. There are going to be things we have to overcome. There's going to be forgiveness that has to take place. So this isn't a one and done, pray it away kind of message. So don't sit here and be like, if I write these notes down and check all these boxes, I'll be whole. Jesus can make us whole, but there is a process to it. This is part of that process. Can we agree on that? Okay, so we're going to change our thinking. So core pillar number one is my thoughts control my life, but thoughts control my life, but I control my thoughts. Say but. But that is a conjunction. It's a very important conjunction. It means that everything before is important, but it is disqualified by everything that comes after. Yes, thoughts control my life, but I control my thoughts. I have authority over what takes root in my mind. I have authority over what establishes foundation in my thinking. This isn't just, oh, every single thought that happens has equal opportunity to be important in my mind. No, there are things that are going to pop into my mind I'm going to immediately disqualify as useless, worthless, or corrupt. And if I don't do that, I need to start. I can control my thoughts. We are a sum total of our thoughts. Proverbs 23:7, written by Solomon, very wise man. He said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What we think determines our actions, which is how people see us, which is who we are. As we think, so we are. You know, we talk about in Grow Track, we say that, and Grow Track is our Next Steps class. So for new believers and Next Steps for people who are new to True North, it's our opportunity to get plugged in. But what we say in Grow Track is that what we believe, which is our thoughts, determines our actions. What we believe determines what we do. So if we want to change what we're doing, we have to change what we're thinking. It all stems back to that. The steps we take, the actions we perform, they all originate in our thought life. It's like if I want to take hold of the actions and change what I'm doing, I have to instead go back and change what I'm thinking. Proverbs 4:23, Solomon again says, "Be careful what you think about because your thoughts run your life." We have to be careful what we think about. Another version says your life is shaped by your thoughts. So two important truths as we talk this through. Number one, our lives are determined by what we think. What you think determines what you do. So if you think bad thoughts, you're going to have a bad life. If you think dumb thoughts, you're going to have a dumb life. That's middle school right there, right? If you think selfish thoughts, you'll have a selfish life. But if you think smart thoughts, you move toward a smart life. You think good thoughts, you move toward a good life. If you think bitterness or jealousy, it bears that fruit. But if you think of grace, compassion, and forgiveness, contentedness, that bears that fruit. How we think determines how we live. I have to start with the thought process. You are what you think about. Your thoughts control, they shape, they run your life because we are what we think about. Because our thoughts determine our actions. So we need to think about what we think about. I like to say it this way. We need to think on purpose. Thoughts enter our brain on accident, but we intentionally let them linger, take root, and bear fruit. If our purpose is to bear the kingdom of Jesus Christ in our daily walk, then we need to live on that purpose. Every choice I make has to be rooted in the purpose that God has for me. I have to live on purpose. So if our life is determined by what we think, then number two, we need to be careful what we think about. Thoughts happen. Thinking doesn't happen. Thinking is a choice. So one of the reasons we want to talk through this series is because we need to exercise the choice to think more frequently. Liking a whole bunch of things on Facebook or reposting a whole bunch of stuff on Instagram or TikTok is not evidence of a thinking culture. What do we truly believe is true? What is God telling us? How are we living that out? What is my purpose and how am I making it move forward? We have abdicated as a culture our responsibility to think. We've given it away. Oh, that guy said something good. I'm just going to say that. But what do you think? What is God telling you? Not as what the latest talking head or flavor of the month telling you. What does God say is truth? And are we thinking on that truth and living it on purpose? Because what we think about can come from all sorts of different sources. It can come from God, but we've given equal weight to media, social media, digital sources, books, podcasts, our friends, our peers. I mean, oftentimes Satan will plant a thought in our mind. That doesn't mean we have to let it grow there. Not every thought that enters our mind deserves equal opportunity. We have to think about what we think about. And there are a lot of different hot button issues in our culture. We talk about air pollution. We talk about water pollution and global warming. Do we talk about mind pollution enough? Not just the corruption that people say is happening from government levels. What are we allowing to linger in our own minds? We need to stop blaming other people for what we think about. We control our thoughts, which then control our actions, which means we need to think and live on purpose. Stop letting thoughts happen and instead think on purpose. What is my purpose? And we obsess ourselves with the idea of security and homeland security and border walls and immigration policy and all this stuff. But do we think about putting up walls in our minds? Blocking out the things that don't have value to make room for the things that can bear good fruit. Call it mind land security. Am I putting up the walls to keep the bad things out and to allow the good things to flourish? We all have that responsibility. So here's a question you need to start asking yourself. And I think it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. It's more than once daily. Do I really want to think about this right now? Do we ask ourselves that question? When a thought enters our mind and doubt or worry or frustration or whatever takes root, do we ask, do I really want to think about this right now? When I start to worry, do I really want to worry right now? Will this bear fruit? When you start to obsess, do I really want to think about this right now? Is this what I want taking up mental real estate? When I start to get angry, do I really want to think about this right now? When I start to get scared, thinking is a choice. Thoughts happen, thinking is a choice. When things linger in our minds and we allow them to start determining what we do, that is a choice that we have made. You may not have made the choice for the thought to come, but we do make the choice for the thought to continue. We need to think on purpose. We need to intentionally interrupt what is taking place in our mind with what we know to be true. When we have something impure and inappropriate enter our mind, what is our response? When we have a thought that's self-defeating, self-doubting, what is our response? When we have a thought that makes us question our faith, what's our response? When we have a thought that makes us question our identity and the truth of who God says that we are, what's our thought? Because if we allow it to be influenced only in that moment and we haven't pre-planted the truth in our mind, then we're going to be swayed away from God's word and God's will. We're not going to be living on purpose because we didn't think on purpose. Our thinking cannot happen by accident, so I have to control my thoughts. Each of us has the responsibility to take hold of our own thought life and think on purpose. So how do I move forward in this? Number two, any change I want in my life must start in my mind. The origin story to your actions has to go all the way back to your thought process. Because my thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts, which means I can go back and make good decisions or I can make bad decisions all the way back in how I think about the situations I'm walking into. Change starts in your brain, not in your behavior. Starts in your cerebellum, not in your circumstances. It starts inside of you, not outside of you. So let me summarize it this way. Behavior modification is destined to fail. Because what you're trying to do is change what you're doing without changing why you're doing it. You cannot change the what without changing the why. People who are trying to quit smoking, people who are trying to quit drinking, trying to quit drugs, trying to quit swearing, whatever it is, you can't just say, I'm going to stop doing that now without saying, why was I doing it in the first place? And healing that brokenness, finding resolution, and moving forward from the broken thought process that led you to those actions in the first place. We cannot change the what without changing the why, without changing the motivations. Paul says it this way in Romans 12:2. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. We've all changed our minds before. I guarantee you, your social media platform now looks different than it did 5 years ago. We've all changed our minds at some point because we all grow, we all mature, we all learn, we evolve as human beings into a more mature, hopefully, version of ourselves, right? We change our minds and we should allow ourselves to have our minds changed by an inward transformation that only God can bring about. Because he only gives two options here. You can conform. You can look like the world. You can embrace tolerance and what the world calls love and acceptance. Or you can base what is love on what God says love is. You can base what truth is on what God says truth is. Truth is not based on how I feel in the moment, but truth is based on who God is. And that is unchanging. It is never failing. And I can move forward in that truth and live on purpose. I will either be conformed or transformed. Do I give my identity to the world or do I give my identity to Christ and let him refine me and reform me? You know, Jesus talked about the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes we should be. We should be forgiving. We should be gracious. We should be humble. We should be servants. These are the good things that produce good fruit. These are the good thoughts that will bring about the actions that we want to see. And he says in Matthew 5:8, you're blessed when you get your inside world, which is your mind and your heart, put right. Then you see God in the outside world. When I see God here, I can start to see God out there. But if I doubt God in my mind, I'm not going to see what God is doing in my life. If I don't trust God in here, then I can't trust what God is doing in my real life. It starts in our thoughts. It starts in how we think. So if we want to put right any change in our lives, if we want our actions to be moving in a direction on purpose, we need to move our thoughts on purpose. Which means we need to understand what God's purpose for our life is, and that can only be found in him, in his word, and seeking him in prayer diligently. And that leads to the third pillar of our thinking. Number three is, I can change how I feel by changing how I think. And again, I want to say this is not a one and done message. This is not the solution to all of your problems, but it's definitely the starting point. Thinking on purpose, not letting thoughts happen, not letting emotions take hold. Because I don't know about you, but I have two kids that used to be babies, and telling them to stop crying didn't usually work. When they're sad, when they're upset, when they're frustrated, when they're angry, and the tears are just flowing down their face, stop being sad. I'm trying. It doesn't work very well, does it? Because the emotion overwhelms the ability to cope and the ability to think, which means we need to kind of have some pre-installed responses to emotion. I mean, most of us in here have smartphones. Anybody like shortcuts on your smartphone? My older son, man, he's got shortcuts all over the place. He doesn't have to think about anything on his phone. He just tells Siri to do everything. We can do the same thing in our mind. When I'm angry, I will revert to the truth. When I'm frustrated, I will revert to the truth. Not my truth in the moment, but the truth I know to be true based on God's word, based on what he's told me, based on the words of people that I trust around me. Because in this moment of emotion, I cannot trust myself. Our emotions will lie to us. And we see the consequences of that every single day. Will Smith got caught up in emotion when he walked up on that stage. 10 minutes later, when he's giving his acceptance speech, tears are falling, apologies are flowing, but it doesn't take away what he did. Which means we have to know how to react ahead of time. We have to think before things happen. We can train our brains. I used to tell my kids this: you need to put a speed bump between your brain and your mouth. Something needs to stop what you're thinking from coming out and making things worse, because you can't take it back once it's out there. You can't reel it in, which means we have to know what we're going to do ahead of time. Our thinking can determine our feeling. We can change our emotion by knowing what to feel in a moment. When I'm angry, what do I need to do when I'm angry? I need to trust in God. God says this about me. God says this is my truth, and I need to walk from that, not from how I'm feeling. Pre-installed responses, shortcuts, because you can't force a feeling. Feelings will come upon us, but we have to cope with that and figure out what to do with that. So when I'm feeling fearful and experiencing fearful thoughts, what truth am I going to go back to? When I'm feeling depressed and I'm experiencing depressing thoughts, what truth am I going to go back to? I'm not gonna find it in the moment, but we have muscle memory. The brain is a muscle. If you teach your brain something, it will learn it. None of us were born knowing how to clothe ourselves, but thank God we all showed up here, figured that out, right? Things we know become things we learn, becomes things we do. But we have to do it on purpose. It's not an accident how we react in anger unless we let it happen. You can't change the feeling, but you can change the thought. Here's a little illustration of it. How many of us here watch TV? How many of us here make the mistake of watching the news? It's a hard time to watch the news. It's just opinions on right and left, right? You change to the wrong news channel and some talking head is sitting there telling you all the ways that you're wrong and all the ways that your side is wrong and all the ways that your side is lying and trying to teach people all these broken things. And you just sit there and listen to it and all you do is yell at the TV. You have another choice. You can change the channel. I can change what I'm going to think about. This is not wholesome. This is not bringing me value. This is just causing me to be angry and frustrated. So I'm going to change the channel. Maybe that's turning it off completely. Maybe that's changing to some different mindset. But it has to be replacing this negative thing with this positive thing. Changing the channel. And this is biblical in its concept because David talked about this. He said in Psalm 42, "My heart is breaking, so I turn my thoughts to God. Everything around me is falling apart, and instead of focusing on it, I'm going to look upwards. I turn my thoughts to God." He changes the channel. You know, Jonah, he said in chapter 2, "When I'd lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord." Jonah had every opportunity to doubt himself, to question himself, to say, "I've failed, I can't come back from this, but instead I'm going to look at who God is and what he tells me is true and how he tells me to live the truth and live on purpose." When we want to change our actions, we need to move toward our thoughts. I don't want to see this anymore, which means I need to change how I think about it and move in the direction of my thoughts, because the way I think determines the way I feel, and the way I feel will determine the way I act. And again, this isn't a one and done, get it over with, okay, I checked my box, I did all these things, and now I'm a perfect Christian. We've all got room to grow, right? We all know things to be true, but there's a big difference between what we know and what we believe. Because our beliefs will determine the way we live. I know gravity is real, but I believe it's real when I fall. Because there's an encounter with the truth there. We want to encounter the truth of who God says that we are and move forward in that truth, living on purpose. We have to start with our thoughts. We have to start with how we're thinking. We have to start with what we allow to take root in our mind. Because allowing things to take root in our minds is going to produce fruit whether we like it or not. Doubt, frustration, hatred, disappointment. Or is it going to be love, grace, compassion, forgiveness, and hope? Pillar number 4. Every behavior is based on a belief. The Bible says a lot about this. Behaviors are based on belief. The inherent things that I know to be true are going to determine what I step into. Anytime you do something, it's because you believe something. If I do my homework, it's because I believe that that will help me perform better. It will help me be better prepared for what comes next. If I don't value practice, then I am probably not going to perform very well because I don't think practice is as important. But the result of that is going to look different. What I believe determines my behavior. So if I'm acting scared, it's because there's something frightening going on in my life right then. There's something at the source of it. If I'm acting resentful, it's maybe because I believe that somebody's not valuing me the way that I'm supposed to be, and so I'm going to defend myself, I'm going to overachieve, I'm going to make sure that they know. Because there's a mindset behind the action. Or if I'm acting prideful, maybe it's because I believe that I'm not actually worth it. I'm trying to make myself worth what people are trying to say about me. Or maybe it's just I believe myself that much, that I'm that much better than everybody else. Hopefully not. but there's an inherent thought process behind what people are seeing or what you're putting forward. Everything you do is based in a belief. But do we know what those beliefs are? Are we allowing the right beliefs to take hold in our mind? Are we believing every passing thought that comes forward? Are we believing every single thing that we encounter? Are we pre-establishing truth that we can go back to when things get hard? The truth will not be found in the moment. The truth can only be found in God. And if I base myself in his truth and I have something to go back to over and over and over, it will bear fruit in my actions. It will bear fruit in my behavior. But I have to go back to my thoughts. I have to establish what I believe before it can ever display any fruit. Haggai was an Old Testament prophet, and he said this: think carefully about your behavior. Which means your behavior does not just happen. There is something that happens beforehand. We have to think carefully. We have to think on purpose. Why do I act a certain way when around certain people? I don't like that. I want to change that. Why do I act a certain way at work? Why do I treat people the way I treat them at school? Why do I act this way around my neighbors? I don't feel like myself when I'm around these people. Why is that? What truth are you believing that's causing you to live the way you're living? And what truth do you need to find in Jesus that can help you move forward? Our truth is not found in what we feel. Our truth is not found in what other people are telling us. Our truth can only be found in him. His truth is solid and unchanging. His truth is eternal. What am I believing right now? And we all have those things that will cause us to shift emotionally, physically, spiritually. And we've all heard this word, triggered. We all have triggers. There are things that happen to each and every one of us. And some of it's political, some of it's spiritual, some of it's emotional, some of it's within your family, some of it's not within your family, it's within your friends. But we all have those things that cause us to immediately pivot in a particular direction. We have to know what those triggers are so that we know how to respond when we're triggered. What provokes us? What antagonizes us? What emotionally shifts us to 100 in one word or one act? And how do we compensate with the truth that we know and believe to be true? What we believe about ourselves, what we believe about God, impacts everything that we do. How we learn to speak truth over ourselves is incredibly powerful and important. I taught math for 13 years. Most people's not their favorite subject. And I remember a welcome night a number of years ago where a mom and her daughter came in, and mom comes up and she's like, we're super excited to have our daughter here at the school, but she hasn't been in a formal classroom in 2 years. She hasn't had any math teaching in 3 years. And the young lady, she's like, yeah, I'm just not very good at this. I don't think this is gonna be a very good year. I'm like, stop. Just stop. All that means is you have an opportunity to grow more than anybody around you. That's the truth you need to walk in, because if you believe that you're not good at this, it's going to be true. But if you believe you have the opportunity to grow, it's going to be true. So every single day she was there with her notebook taking notes. Every single day she was asking the questions that seemed stupid, but there are no stupid questions in a math class. And by the end of the quarter, she was pulling a D. I'm like, don't be disappointed in this. This is steps toward growth. By the end of the year, again, doing every assignment, asking every question, practicing, performing, doing what she knew she needed to do to move forward, she pulled a C+ by the end of the year. I'm like, this is awesome, but this is not a finish line. You need to continue to move forward. You need to take this seriously. She finished 8th grade, went off to high school, and came back to see me 2 years later. End of her sophomore year, she walked in. She's like, Mr. Bro, you need to know something. I haven't gotten less than a B on a math test or in a math assignment in 2 years. And I don't say that because I'm such an amazing teacher. I mean, I was, but No, I say that because if she had believed the truth that she walked in with, that she's no good at this, there's no chance for you, it would have been true. But when she listened to me and I said, you're going to do great as long as you take this seriously, as long as you walk with an intent to do better every single day, you're going to do great. Because we're not comparing you to everybody around you that you say has a great opportunity and is doing fantastic. Look at how much better they are. No, look at how much better you're doing because you believe this about yourself. You're walking in a truth. Are we allowing the truth to take hold in our lives? Like this girl who walked into my classroom, she could have believed the lie that said, you have no chance. But she chose to accept the opportunity to do better, to say there is a chance for me. I can grow, I can improve. What has happened is not the determining factor in what can happen. From this moment forward, I'm gonna be a student. I'm gonna take everything that comes at me, I'm gonna learn from it, I'm gonna grow from it, and I'm gonna do better. And there's some of us in here today who've never taken the opportunity to listen to what is true about us. Because Jesus says we're loved. Jesus says we're cared for. Jesus says he will watch over us. Jesus says everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And there are some of us in here today who maybe you've never taken the opportunity to encounter that truth and make it your truth. But Jesus wants to be your Savior too. And at True North, we say that's as easy as ABC. A, you have to admit that the truth you made up for yourself isn't good enough. You're gonna come up short. But B, you believe that he is the Son of God. He stepped down from heaven, walked a perfect life, died on the cross to take our sins, and rose again to bring new life for us. And C, we must confess him as our life leader. And we must choose to live on purpose for his kingdom. If you've never prayed that prayer, I invite you to join me. We're gonna bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to encounter you in powerful ways. And Lord, right now, I admit that everything I've tried so far has failed. But I believe that you have so much more for me and that you came to give me a new chance. And I confess that you are the leader of my life. And I confess that I want to live on purpose for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.